Very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumber Drip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, bring on summer and the sound of music in paradise. Here in Cairns, we have the Cairns Summer Sounds 2023 announcing lineup. That's happening all in February, and a stellar cast of live acts, including the Cat Empire, Dummy M. Also have Eric Biv and Stella Donnelly. They'll perform across five different events in Cairns, bringing the tropics alive with big beats and vibrancy. And also two of Australia's hottest stars hit the stage at the Cairns Performing Arts Centre as well. Vocal powerhouse, Australian Eurovision superstar Dummy M will command the CPAC stage with an extraordinary voice on Saturday, 11th of February. But also we have a sister, Jessica Mowboy, a multiple area award-winning R&B pop artist. She's performing at the CPAC performance on 18 February. There's a date claiming you mob. And with that, I've got the sister on the line. A very good morning, Jessica Mowboy. How are you, sister?
Good morning.
Sing it, girl. Sing it, girl.
Good morning.
Thank you, my sister, very much for coming to the program. Look, before we start, my sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yes. So I'm Jessica Mowboy, and I am a proud Kukunyalanji and Wakaman woman. I originate, obviously, born and bred in the Northern Territory on Larrakia Nation land. So that's where all my family reside. But North Queensland is where all my blood is as well.
There you go. Just up the road here from Gimoy, here in Cairns. You're a Kanji. Thank you very much, my sister. Very good morning to you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we're so very excited to have you come to Cairns for the Cairns Summer Sounds 2023. So tell us about, you've performed in Cairns before, have you not?
Yes, I have many, many years ago. Yarrabah as well. So
big shout out, Yarrabah.
Yarrabah, big shout out to there. And look, it is really exciting to be able to come back, and particularly, you know, through Summer Sounds, which is on 18th Feb.
Yeah, 18th Feb, that's right.
Yeah, 18th of Feb, you know, Performing Arts Centre. And, you know, just to be able to bring that spirit and you know, on country as well. I know there's going to be biggest mob spirit there too. So to be able to put my feet on country there is something I feel, you know, really, you know, is a massive honour and pleasure.
Yes.
And anywhere, I guess, around Australia, I'm always feeling like everywhere I perform is like world-class stage. And, you know, and I treat it as connecting to country. So
exactly.
This is something that I hold to my heart. And any opportunity where I get to be around mob, you know, particularly, you know, a black mob, that's where I feel my most confident and blessed. And, you know, where I feel my most solid, because we all kind of know, we know each other that way, you know, the way that we talk, the way, you know, our body language.
Exactly.
There's not even any words, it's just, you know, it's
like mental telepathy. We know what's going on with sister over there beyond the tree.
It's just eyes.
Brother coming in the steps, we know what's going on.
Yeah, the googly eyes.
Shut up.
But, you know, it's that way, like, that always makes me feel, like, prepared, you know, for anything, and particularly when it comes to music and performing, like, that's kind of, I feel like that's where my power grows more, the strongest is when I am with my mob,
Too deadly, my sister. Listen, we've been watching your career since day dot. You are just kicking goals. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, that you are. And now performing on world stages. You enjoying your career. And tell us the journey and how you're travelling with it, my sister.
Yeah, look, being able to, I guess, you know, have music, because it's such a healing power, and, you know, we know that it goes all the way back to our ancestors, and that's something that I guess I take respectively, you know, you know, I really acknowledge it in a way that it is kind of my spiritual power and my way of having conversations, and particularly the hard ones. Where, you know, I feel that I am unable to have the words to, that's where music really comes in, and music has taught me everything I need to know about just living and the way that I am
has
been brought to life by music. So I try and make everything that I do feel seamless through music and have it not be negative or difficult. So that's kind of where I have probably my most difficult conversations. and makes me feel safe. It's kind of like my armor. And, I'm really grateful for that, that I can be able to speak through music in that way that sometimes can be really difficult. So, being able to show up and, present myself through music is always kind of been something, of a gift, really. I think of it as, I'm really grateful that I can be able to do this through that and inspire others.
Exactly.
I also think, I love doing what I do, and I acknowledge it in a way that I'm proud how I'm being able to project my thoughts and my words and my stories through music. But to be able to reach people who may not have that ability or who are trying to find their way through life and, find their reasons or find their end. I feel really proud to be able to do that.
If you've got a young sister,
a young mob.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying, if you've got a young sister out there who's watching you perform on stage, may motivate that young person to be a doctor. Not in your field, but to get the inspiration, so to speak.
That's right. To be able to, stand in that light and whatever that may be. It may not be through music, or performing, or it might be performing as a doctor or, as an athlete or, could be anything. Could be performing, through your tests at school. There's just so many forms and unique ways that to be able to grasp on inspiration and to be able to place it where it feels comfortable for you.
Yeah.
So that's I feel really proud when I see young mobs just take a bit of that. And I think that's why. It doesn't matter what field you're in. If you can be able to just take on that spirit and that motivation, then you can run with it. And I feel like that's part of my duty as
beautiful,
in my profession that I do. Is if I can go out there and just give that sense of wonder and possibility, another door that you can see through, that gives you a whole new perspective, then that's it.
My sister, we all see and watch and look at you and look so down to earth. I know you're speaking from the heart there and keep it real, and that's exactly what you do. Now, on a personal level, congratulations. You just got married, is that right?
Yeah.
Madeline and Love. He in there washing the dishes? What's he doing?
Look out.
Shut up.
All right, now wash
some dishes. Mow that lawn. So congratulations there, Madeline Love. So tell us about the wedding.
I couldn't, there was no better place than to have it up north where, I was born and bred, and to have all my mob be able to attend and not have to go too far.
Yes.
My mob love to stay put, and, particularly all my elders, that are much older. I wanted them to be able to be a part of it and not have to travel too far. So it just made sense to, have it up there, all the spirit and ancestors, and, to be able to be welcomed into a whole new phase of life, I guess. To have all my mob witness, myself and my partner, make that next step for each other and, I guess, with elders that are, already passing on, that was our kind of main thing, that we wanted to have all the people that we loved and all the people that have shaped us and molded us into people who we are, is be able to have them there and continue to share stories and, whoop us and
exactly.
On our backsides.
Yeah, that's right. Don't big note yourself, you get slapped in the back of the ear. That's how we operate. That's how black people operate. Sister, so just confirming, Tamale?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the pronunciation, Tamale?
Yeah, that's exactly exactly right.
Okay, yeah. Lovely. So give us a bit of background to Mally. How'd you meet him? Is he a local boy? Is he Australian boy? Is he Darwin boy?
Yeah.
Was he pole dancing when you saw him in action?
Oh,
tell us the story. What happened?
No, so background and just on FEM, family. FEM for short.
FEM.
P-H-E-M.
Yep.
But, family was born and bred in Darwin.
Darwin.
So he's over there, but Greek background. So
okay.
His dad is...
So did you guys go to school together or something?
Well, we not far. So
okay.
He went to Dripstone and I went to Sanderson High School.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... he used to dance for Cultural Day as well. So he's Greek dancing. He would go to the Harmony Cultural Festival.
Performer.
And he was a performer. And
yes.
I also performed, Indigenous dance and cultural dance as well. And also, being in Indonesian as well, we
yes.
would also bring the Indonesian dance culture as well. And so I did not know this, but there is a photo that I have retrieved. And I did not know him even then, but I'm oblivious to it. But in the background, he is getting prepared to
shut your mouth. Meant to be.
Day.
Meant to be.
And there I am getting all my kind of culture outfit on. And there he is in the background.
In the background,
so
there you go.
It was kind of full circle because he's always kind of been there. But
yeah.
I was very much oblivious to it until when I eventually made the move and... when I was a little bit older, at the age of 18, and made the move. And,
so was he at a function that you performed at, or how did it all come about?
Yeah. So it came about on a night out. I had just arrived back in into Darwin from touring with the Young Divas.
Okay.
And, so I was hanging out with eight of my girlfriends, and they had known of him or were more friends with him than I was, and that's kind of where I pretty much, well, he made his move. And
did he really? Shut your mouth.
Yeah,
you got them? You got it. Them?
I was like, I don't know if you're my type. Like,
shut your mouth.
Don't. Shut up. Don't
act like a big star. You're just a Darwin girl. Let's have a coffee.
Calimera.
Fantastic.
But from then on, we've been together ever since. So it's pretty crazy. And I think what's kind of really sustained our relationship is that we've come from the same place. So
yes.
Like, we know how we go. And,
yes, exactly. Don't act.
Yeah, we know that lingo. And we
yeah,
know that
good.
Conversation. We just know that body language. It's that same thing, like with Black Mob. Like, we just know.
Mm.
And,
Well, Black Mob are strong with family. So are Greeks.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? There's a beautiful connection there,
Big connection, yeah.
What's he doing in regard to occupation, job-wise? What's he do? Background.
Occupation, he works in, he's a site manager. So
okay.
He assists in, all the stuff.
On development, buildings.
In development.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's building love with you, so that's too deadly. Thank you for the yarn there, my sister. But look, fantastic. And we're looking forward to having you in Cairns for Cairns Summer Sounds, Jessica Malboy. That's on the 18th of February. There's a date claimer, and you're performing at CPAC, and that's here in Cairns. And looking for this Cairns Performing Arts Centre. And it's been a while since you've been back to Cairns, and you're at country up north there in Cookie-Yellingy. So it'd be good for you to be back on country, you could say, my sister.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to connecting back to country, and that's just one thing that I'm super excited about, and particularly to be able to perform as well. So to be able to perform is just a bonus, but to put my feet on and connecting with country is major. So I'm always looking forward to that and seeing you up there for Summer Sounds and
yes.
Us breaking it down, shaking the leg.
Yeah, there you go, sister. Look, too deadly. Thank you very much for the yarns. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay beautiful. We will yarn soon. And look, we've got to catch up when you come to Cairns, of course. Come to the Murray Radio Station, Bummer Bipra. Come and say I'll have a coffee, have a yarn, sister.
Yes. Trinity Trev. Thank you very much, Uncle. I really appreciate it.
Too
thank you for letting us yarn and talk on your station. So that's and be able to project through to all the mob that way. And
yes.
I look forward to seeing everyone and having a good time.
Okay, my sister Jessica Malboy, you keep smiling. We'll talk soon, sister.
Yeah. Cheers. Yo. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye, Dar. Bye bye.
Ta-da.
What if we fall? it's like fate. And every time you touch me, girl, I feel us levitate. It's like I'm in a skyscraper. You say we too high, but have faith. And baby, I know that you are the one. A feeling like me plus you is a sum. And I don't even know what I'm saying right now. And we can figure this out. Cause I can be the one. Let me take a dip in your waters. Backstroke your love until the morning. Cause I believe the fall, but I don't wanna be too cautious. Cause all I'm thinking, baby, is what if we fall? And baby girl, you know you wanna be my wife. Oh, 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 yeah. Be my wife and be my life. Oh, oh, oh. What if we fall in love? What if we fall in love?
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk track, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
I know you rise in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. Deep is your love, is your love. How deep is your love? I really mean to love. Cause we're living in a world of fools, breaking us down when they all should let us be. We belong. To my very soul, you're the light in my darkest, deepest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think that I care for you, when you know down inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? Is it your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to love. Cause we're living in a world of fools, breaking us down. Is it yours?
on your mouth. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country, across Australia, through NERS, via NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, a very very important conversation need to be had. I'm about to have that now with Philip Kastner. He's University of Western Australia Senior Law Lecturer. He's based, he's over at Canada at the moment. But the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, hears calls for action. Now, for most people, the idea of a loved one vanishing or being murdered is beyond comprehension, but it's a scenario that is all too familiar for many First Nation communities. Known as Mrs. Eaton for cultural reasons, the Namul elder in Western Australia, Pilbara region, knows families who have relatives disappear with little or no explanation. Her own grandson is listed as a missing person. There's no closure. It's not only the families who suffer, the community suffers as well, Mrs. Eaton says. A landmark national inquiry focusing on disproportionately high rates of missing and murdered Indigenous women and children is underway, and more than 40 submissions received from organisations, individuals across the globe. Most of the submissions released publicly are from legal and domestic violence services, academics and human rights groups, which are heavily research-based, and many are calling for long overdue action to combat the increasing rates of violence against Indigenous women and children. And with that, I'm going to bring Philip Kastner to the conversation, University of West Australia Senior Law Lecturer, who's a lecturer who's doing research on this space, and research has to be done in the 21st century. Here we are. And a very good morning to Philip. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm well.
Thank you very much coming to the program. Philip, you're based in Canada at the moment, are you?
I am, yes. So it's a good start. I'd like to mention that I was born and raised in Europe, actually, but I've lived for many years in Canada, what is known as Turtle Island, and on Noongar land, where the University of Western Australia
Beautiful.
Is situated.
Thank you very much. Look, a very important research that you're a part of, and it needs to be done. We as First Nation people, we look at missing persons, murdered persons, women and children that doesn't get really investigated. It's a different story when it's non-Indigenous. You know, the support of finding the murderer, of a child or woman is robust. It goes hard and solid. But not in this case for First Nation people. So bring into the conversation, tell us about your research and the importance of it, please.
Right. So I'd also like to mention that I cannot and do not want to speak on behalf of First Nations people,
okay.
But I try to contribute to the debate as an ally, and I try
Thank
to
you.
Take responsibility also
Thank
as
you.
A member of the settler colonial society.
Thank you. Thank
my
you.
Research
Thank
deals
you.
A lot with international law, with transitional justice, it's called transitional justice, so with forms of justice in the aftermath of armed conflicts, of regime changes, and also in the context of settler colonial societies. And when my co-researcher from Canada and I looked at this new Senate inquiry into terms of reference, we realized that the inquiry actually has a very broad mandate, which we think is really important, namely to consider violence in a very broad sense. And that was actually similar also to a Canadian inquiry that was made a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Into similar issue into Indigenous women who are missing or who have been murdered,
mm-hmm.
And the terms of reference of the inquiry, of the Australian inquiry, actually speak of the systemic causes of all forms of violence that need to be considered, and we just thought that this could really have my co-researcher and I, we thought that this could have been communicated much more clearly, including in the name of the inquiry. The problem is, of course, that this is not just about these most extreme manifestations of direct physical violence. When a woman or a child actually is murdered or disappears, this is, of course, absolutely horrific. And we must take such cases much more seriously, investigate them properly, provide appropriate support services to families and communities, especially, this is, of course, especially challenging in remote areas, but it doesn't mean that that public institutions don't need to react.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Philip, I was just going to say, my friend, I'm talking to you from Cairns, a radio station here, does the National Talk Radio program via NERS, National News Radio Service. Here in Cairns, we had a murder happen back in 2017, 18, I think it was, where a young girl got murdered here in Cairns, and they're extraditing a person of interest from India who's coming back to Cairns to face courts to talk about the situation. Now, this young girl, and condolences and respect to her family, young Toya Cordinglings, when she got murdered, the support in regards to there was $1 million reward to find the murderer, stickers, media, the whole community got behind it. We as black people here in Cairns, we think if that was a black person, a black woman, an Indigenous woman, would they have gone this far in regarding putting out a reward, $1 million, putting out all these stickers, and they fought to get this man they need to be extradited to face court.
Right.
We think it's sad, but do we think that? I mean, like I said, with all respect to the family of Toya, and her spirit may rest in peace. But she's not she's not Indigenous, and the support was unbelievable. And now we've found someone, which is fantastic. But our black women and children who go missing in this country, it's not the same support or findings behind that to the full extent. You hear what I'm saying?
Of course, I very much agree with that observation and this kind of criticism. It's not to take away any of the support that you see and feel now in Cairns and perhaps even across the country. It's perhaps important to say that this kind of gendered violence, the gendered forms of violence against women and girls, this kind of violence has not been taken seriously across the globe, really. This concerns Indigenous and non-Indigenous women. But the thing is, with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia, the issues, of course, very similar in Canada with Indigenous women, the rates are just a lot higher when it comes to missing and murdered women. So we have sort of what we call sort of an intersectional problem. They are targeted because they are women, but they are also targeted because they are Indigenous.
Yes.
So one of the numbers that really struck me is that Indigenous women are around 30 times more likely to be hospitalized because of assault-related injuries. And sometimes the big problem is really that you know, they call the police, and they are just not being taken seriously. And when women feel threatened, and it does happen in sort of, you know, the non-Indigenous context as well, unfortunately.
Yes.
So there's something to be discussed much more broadly, really, to take this gendered violence more seriously. But obviously the rates are just staggering and are completely unacceptable if we compare those rates, you know, between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and non-Indigenous women.
Yes.
And so we of course need to take this issue more seriously, and there needs to be more training within the police. But we also need to work on, of course, the systemic causes that we must try to remove, and to try to make sure that this violence just doesn't happen in the first place. And that's, of course, a very complex process. There are no very easy, straightforward solutions there, but that doesn't mean that there is nothing we can do. We still need to take action. And I see the Senate inquiry as part of trying to also hear from Indigenous communities directly what they think, what they suggest, what is important to them, how they think that we should try to act. But at the same time, it's, of course, you know, a bit of a top-down inquiry. It's created by the Senate, and it's in some way part of that colonial mindset. Like, we create a top-down commission to address a problem that concerns indigenous people. And I do hope that's also what we thought was really important that,
yes.
To make it clear that we hear from and listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and to empower them to design solutions and to work on solutions.
Well, we're saying that
that is really key, and that's something that was also, you know, raised very prominently. That was a major issue in the context of the Canadian inquiry too.
Yeah, well, then you look at when you're talking about missing and murdered First Nation women and children in this country. I mean, and you're doing the research on that. I will say this, Philip, your tongue's going to be hanging out. You've got a lot of work. You're going to find a lot of inquiries that haven't been inquired, haven't been investigated. You're in Canada. There's a similar story over there with First Nation people as well. Is that right? Do you want to share that, please?
Yes, very much.
And share that with us here and now?
So
you got an example of one.
The inquiry was launched a few years ago. We issued a final report in 2019, and as I said before, you know, issued this huge report really to try to work on and report on this issue. The numbers are actually fairly similar, equally shocking really. So we have, statistics according to which Indigenous women are like 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing. We still, however, do not have precise numbers, and I think that's important to mention too. Even after this long inquiry, the numbers are still unknown. There are no reliable estimates. Mm. But what is clear is that thousands of women have actually, you know, thousands of women's deaths or disappearances have actually most likely gone unrecorded. That's what the commission found. But the important point here also is that no matter the precise number, this number is definitely too great. So this is just very clear. And perhaps I'm not saying it doesn't matter what the exact number is. Like,
sure.
every case obviously counts.
Exactly.
But our response to this huge challenge really shouldn't depend on, you know, whether we exactly find out how many women have actually been missing or have been murdered. So that's also an important insight, I think, from the Canadian inquiry.
Sure. Fantastic.
Yes.
And with this information, as a law lecturer, senior law lecturer from University of Western Australia, when you find this information, where do you take this information? What do you do with it? Do you take it to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Minister? Do you take it to the Premier of WA? This should be across the nation in regard to the missing Indigenous women and children in this country with no investigation. There's got to be, well, an inquiry as such, investigation on this survey as such, but there need to be some outcomes where there's policies and procedures constitutionally put across the table to make sure this doesn't happen.
Right. So I think that the Senate inquiry still is a good start, really.
Okay.
I don't think that we will be able to kind of stop there, right? It will be interesting to see what this committee will recommend. They might recommend to establish, you know, another commission with broader powers to further investigate the issue. It could be a royal commission. I don't know. I don't know what they will come up with. But I think it's clear that the work actually starts with such an inquiry. What I do, well, you know, also many other colleagues, we work on this issue from on Indigenous issue or human rights issues from different angles.
Exactly.
I'm very interested in, you know, dealing with the systemic causes as well, and try to figure out what we can do in terms of institutions, what we can do in terms of mechanisms, of course, in cooperation and very much driven by Indigenous people, how we can change the problem really, and try to remove these systemic causes. Once again, the Senate inquiry, I'm not expecting too much from it, really.
Okay.
It's not as if, you know, oh, there's an inquiry and it will just all be better afterwards. But it is really important to talk about it and to work on several fronts. Once again, I think the The police and investigators, prosecutors, of course, need to be trained. Need to be better trained. Probably,
exactly.
You know, this is just this is very, very clear. But there is a lot of endemic discrimination, and we need to continue this process of decolonization on a larger front to try to remove the systemic causes for this violence.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly right. And so with this information, if we've got families out there who are listening to our conversation here and now, how can they get in touch with you to share with you their stories if they're in this situation? What's your contact? How do we do that?
Well, email is a good contact.
Okay, yes, yeah, 21st Century.
At the moment, I don't know if that is very easy.
Do you want to give your email over, please?
Sure. That's Philip. That's written PHILIPP. Dot Caster.
LIPP, that's double P, LIPP.
Double P.
PHILLIPP.
No, just one L.
PHILLIPP, yes.
Yes.
Philip.
Caster.
All one word.
PST. Dot Caster.
Dot Kastner. K A S T N E R.
T N E R.
K A S T.
That's at UWA.
UWA.edu
for education, edu.au.
.au, lovely. I've got your email here. So to our listeners out there, if you want to contact Philip Kastner.
Find me if you search for Philip Kastner, UWA, University of Western Australia.
Okay, University of Western Australia.
To find me too.
Okay, right, yeah, thank
you. There, once again, it's not... I don't want to take too much space in a way. There are a lot of wonderful organizations, of course,
yes.
That have made submissions as well.
Sure.
Who work on the ground more than I do. I see my contribution very much as trying to, you know, compare also and
sure.
what has been going on somewhere else, and to share these insights, which I find.
Well, the more stories we have, I think it's more meat on the bone, Philip. Yeah, I think the more stories we have, more meat on the bone, it gives you a strong foundation for the Senate inquiry, I feel.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your conversation. Thank you for the work that you're doing, a very important work. And when we talk about the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, he has called for action, yes, and this is long time waiting. And as I said, we are in the 21st century, and we're finding our women and children are still going missing with no importance in regard to the investigation side of things. Thank you very much, Philip. All the best to you. Stay warm there in Canada.
Much. Listen to me,
and we'll talk soon.
I really hope that my voice today will also help amplify the voices of those who really need to be heard. So
I'm sure
thank you
it
very
will.
Much
I'm sure
for having
it will.
Me.
Philip, we'll be in touch. You take care. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
Bye
bye.
Take care too. Have a good day. Bye.
A beautiful yarn. Philip Kastner, his name is, and University of Western Australia, senior law lecturer, and he's a part of the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children. He has calls for action, and we as black people, we know fully that is the case. When our women and children go missing, the investigation isn't taken seriously. It's a very important conversation, and we'll be in touch with Philip Kastner, University of Western Australia, and you can find his contact these details if you want to share stories or if you have any queries with the man who's doing the research there on the missing, murdered First Nation women and children, then contact him through University of Western Australia. Fantastic. Look, very important conversation, disheartening, but needs to be had. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and Jan Upstrong here, the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbaripip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service.